grateful stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We would take a look at the minutes and let me know if there are any changes that you see that are inaccurate. If not, will someone give me a motion to approve them?
Motion to approve them.
Thank you.
Second.
Second. Who was that? Oh, excuse me, Dr. Hill.
Yes.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No, they will be put in our records. Are there any citizen comments at this time?
So the only person that I see virtually that I'm not sure is caller number one. And so I'm not sure, caller one, if you were wishing to make any kind of public comments. Sorry, so you do not have any comments? Hard copy in front of them. I will spare doing that, but I don't mind to put it up on the screen if anyone needs me to put it up.
Good afternoon. For the fourth quarter of 2020, all programs for CSR were positive. For the public housing, the operating gain was $622,000, and that was higher than the expected gain of $52,500. And that gain was caused because of the higher duration for our operating subsidy and from COVID-19 funding from HUD. And you see on page three, at the bottom, the public housing statement at the bottom, you will see that we have an operating gain before depreciation of $356,000, and then you add the COVID-19 funding, and we got $255,000, so that adds to the $622,000 that we got. Gain in public housing for 2020. Now, in the housing choice voucher program, there is an error in there. It should say revenue exceeded expenses or higher. And revenues exceeded expenses by $85,000. And revenue exceeded expenses because CRJ received $110,000 of half health reserve from HUD in October, and then we got $305,000 in health funding in November under the CARES Act from HUD too. And that was caused because before the pandemic started, our unit per cost was $798. And then by August, our unit per cost went to 820. So that was they gave, that's why they gave us that $25,000 extra. Then in the administrative portion of the program, we performed better than expected. We had a gain of $312,000, and we were expecting the gain of $53,000. And then we have lower than expected expenses, and we received COVID-19 funding for $213,000. And that was that caused that gain that we had in there. And we still have to spend $272,000 in 2020, in 2021. That was money that was left from last year. We had to spend before December 2021. And then the affordable properties, we have a gain of around $382,000. And we were expecting the gain of $231,000. And the gain was caused because of higher revenue from rent. And in the authority management, we earned around $163,000. And we were expecting the gain of around $133,000. And that was, the gain was caused because of lower expenses and because we received a PHDA COVID-19 funding, a grant for $75,000. And do you have any questions about the financials?
Just to point out, and I'm sure everyone is well aware of this, but you know, there's always a lag in when we present our financials. So we're talking about our financials as they ended on December 31st of 2020. And so, you know, at that point, we were neck deep in, you know, in everything that was going on with the COVID pandemic. And so we had not, you know, you kept hearing Ray say expenses were lower. And you know, I want everyone to fight the temptation to see that, you know, we generated so much more income than we had projected, but we also deferred a lot of a lot of expenses simply because we weren't able to, you know, to do a lot of the work, especially on the public housing side and on the affordable side, with just, you know, certain, you know, maintenance items. We've only been during the height of the pandemic and throughout 2020, we essentially only responded to emergency or critical, you know, maintenance requests. And you know, folks didn't want us in their apartments, and we didn't necessarily want to be, you know, in their apartment until you know, the numbers began to shift. And so, you know, while this report is, you know, overwhelmingly positive, I do want to, you know, everyone to understand kind of why it's so positive. Is it because of a lot of the negative side effects of COVID, unfortunately. So.
May I ask a couple of questions, please? When you say we deferred expenses, I do understand what that means from a practical perspective. However, do we defer resources to be standing by to cover those expenses that we deferred, knowing probably some good guesstimate as to how much they'd be? Are we allocating funds to hold for that particular purpose?
Yeah, that's a great question. And in case, hopefully everyone was able to hear what Dr. Hill's asking. He's saying he completely understands that we spent less because we couldn't do a lot of the work, but are we accounting for that going forward to make sure that we get caught up, essentially? And the answer is yes. And so HUD allows us to, you know, to continue to use those funds, you know, going forward that, you know, that are kind of surplus cash flow now, on eligible expenses going forward, and we're, you know, we're already moving forward now with a major redevelopment of Geneva Square and Owens Village, and you know, we're working on all the underwriting for the financing through a HUD loan for that, and obviously there'll be, you know, some expenses associated with that, and we're also, you know, have a number of both capital projects as well as maintenance projects that are underway getting caught up, and so probably what you'll see is started to catch up in first quarter, you know, 2021, and we'll have those numbers, you know, once Ray's able to process them, and then I would suspect we'll continue. You'll see the expenses continue to catch up in the second quarter of this year as well.
The second question, thank you, Justin. The second question would be, Ray, you indicated that there are a certain amount of monies that have to be spent prior to the end of the year. Is that a particular category?
Yes, that's for, that's for Section 8, admin expenses.
Okay.
Like for salaries or admin related expenses.
Sure, I understand. Okay.
And just for the edification of the board, I'm always kind of reluctant to have, you know, reserves, and so to speak, in the HUD world, simply because we, our commissioners who've been around a while, and certainly staff, remember what happened. I guess it was in 2012 or 2013. HUD came and kind of swept those accounts.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's been a large federal lawsuit that's been ongoing for a number of years. I think actually there's a second lawsuit that was just settled against HUD.
Okay.
For doing so recently, and so I think the appetite for them to do that is much less now, especially with all the legal expenses and payouts and settlements. But you know, I still can't shake being a witness to what happened the first time, and so we're going to make sure we get those funds spent so that they're not in a position to have any kind of potential recapture whatsoever.
Thank you,
Madam Chair. May I ask a question?
That's Commissioner Kish.
Yes, sir.
I'm missing something, but as I look through the financials, it seemed to me that the operating revenue overall in most properties was greater than budgeted. And I can sort of understand that with the subsidies that we got for COVID. But then, in general, the operating expenses seem to be above budget also. I didn't make a good list of them, but I'm looking at Broadlawn right now. And the operating expense budget was $1,300,000, and our expenses were $1,476,000. And that seemed to me to follow through. And a lot of it was it maintenance or maintenance salaries? In this particular case, maintenance salaries were 142% over budget. And I guess I don't understand that. I'm missing something.
And so two parts to that. So on the revenue side, you know, we have also received quite a bit of rental, essentially assistance through the state. Through multiple rounds of emergency rental payments, ERP was what they called one round of it, and then I think now the current round is emergency rental assistance, ERA. And so we've actually received over $100,000 just in the affordable portfolio. I think, I hope I'm not misstating that. I know we got D on the line, but one of our newer property managers has been kind of coordinating those efforts to recapture basically unpaid rent on the part of our tenant. And when they do that, they pay all of the arrearages, and then they'll actually even kick in some rental assistance. And so we have actually, as you noted, have begun to collect more. We got caught up on the revenue side from that factor, as well as all the additional HUD sources. As far as the expenses, I completely see what you're saying, we are over budget on some of 2020. We were pretty conservative with a lot of our budgetary estimates coming into 2020, just simply because we knew we were going to struggle to get a lot done coming out of 2019. I don't really know how to answer Tom. I know he's on the line, and Dee, if there's anything in particular that y'all want to speak to as far as the maintenance expenses that brought along, or any of the other particular properties that Mr. Kish is talking about.
Reactive sections at Broadlawn, and we had lot of expenses related to the pending REAC inspection at Broadway.
And we charged our due.
And we did a bunch of the work leading up to the REAC, because when they closed us down, we had 1 week. We had our inspection due in 1 week after we closed. So we were closed down, and we had done a bunch of the work to get the properties prepared for the REAC inspection. And then there came COVID. So a lot of the extra funds that we used in early 2020 was due to the REAC inspection.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that's the answer. And I apologize. I wasn't thinking that far back. Yeah, that's, I think we were, I want to say that the governor's shutdown order happened on like a Friday, and we were supposed to be having 2 or 3 REAC inspections the following week when they got canceled. I'm not going to lie and say that we weren't happy they got canceled. Yeah, that's certainly the answer. Steve, thank you. I figured you could shed light on that for us. Mr. Kitch, did that satisfy your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
At this point, we will move to B, Exhibit C, Resolution Number 1463. Mr. Brooks, would you explain that to us?
I certainly will, if you'll bear with me just a moment, because I'm going to pull up my paper copy to read a little easier than on the screen. So, thank you, Dr. Adams. This, as I alluded to in some of the comments earlier, we have begun the loan application and the financing to complete a renovation of Geneva Square, as well as the RAP conversion that we began planning last year of Owens Village, which will also require us to make some level of repair as a part of that. And so what we've chosen to do is we actually put out a public request for proposals for multifamily lenders who were experienced in pretty much, we asked them to be experienced in all of the HUD loans and FHA, as well as Fannie, Freddie, conventional, basically to have a portfolio that they could offer us any type of loan that we could possibly ever need to develop and or redevelop our properties. And so we selected Prudential Mortgage out of we're working actually with their affordable housing team that works exclusively with affordable housing in out of the Cleveland office of their national mortgage group. And so as a part of that, we are pursuing a 223F Section 223F, everything's a section with HUD, and it's a HUD-insured loan that will allow us to then make all of the necessary renovations to keep Geneva Square both relevant, as well as all of the systems and everything to renew their useful life, as well as to complete whatever repairs HUD will require to effectuate the RAD conversion of Owens Village. So we're going to have one loan for both properties. We manage the property now from Geneva Square and from our community center / management office that's located there centrally at, between the two properties. And so what this item is this is a resolution that will authorize CRHA to create a corporation or other entity that will facilitate the redevelopment. FHA is requesting that we have a single purpose entity, essentially for just for risk exposure, that CRHA create a separate entity, a corporation that we will be the sole member of, and that corporation will house all of the financing for the Owens Village and Geneva Square renovation. And so Resolution 1463 is action to authorize me and staff to pursue that. We've consulted with Delphine and with Harriet, with council, about as to what type of entity we'll be creating. I think right now it's a limited liability company where CRHA will be the sole member of that LLC. And of course, Delphine, if I say this wrong, please correct me, but I think it's a state law that actually requires that the board adopt a resolution authorizing the creation, as well as I think we're going to have to go to city council and get their approval as well.
fine.
And so tonight, you know, this action is kind of step one, which is where CRHA, we're asking you all to approve resolution 1463 that will allow us to then go to city council. And, you know, once approved by city council, we'll be able to create the Cove at Deep Creek Limited Liability Company. We're going to rebrand Geneva Square and call it the Cove at Deep Creek as a part of the redevelopment and the renovations. So.
Folks, I'm actually going to read this resolution to you because I'm guessing that some of you don't have it in front of you. Just on the off chance that you don't have it, if you're going to vote on this and you need to know what it is so that if anybody asks you, you can tell them. Whereas the Board of Commissioners of Chesapeake Redevelopment and Housing Authority has determined that it is appropriate to renovate its Geneva Square and Owens Village communities collectively, the project. And whereas the Board of Commissioners previously authorized the Rental Assistance Demonstration RAD conversion of Owens Village by adopting resolution number 1443 on November 13th, 2019, and whereas pursuant to section 36-1912 of the Virginia Housing Authority's law, chapter 1, title 36, Code of Virginia of 1950, as amended, the authority with the approval of the local governing body is authorized to form corporations, partnerships, limited liability companies, or other legal entities or combinations thereof. And whereas participation by the authority in the project may require the creation of one or more legal entities, including but not limited to a corporation to be known as the Cove at Deep Creek LLC, to oversee activities related to the project. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Commissioners of the Chesapeake Redevelopment and Housing Authority as follows. Number one, subject to the approval of the Chesapeake City Council, the formation by the authority of a corporation to be known as the Cove at Deep Creek LLC, and of such other entities as may be necessary or desirable to facilitate the participation of the authority in planning, developing, and supporting the project, is hereby authorized and approved. The executive director or his designee is hereby authorized to execute and deliver any and all agreements, instruments, and other documents as may be necessary or desirable to consummate the transactions by this resolution, and to take such other action as he may deem necessary or desirable to carry out the intent of this resolution. Number three, all actions heretofore taken by the executive director and other officers of the authority in connection with the transactions contemplated by this resolution are hereby approved, adopted, ratified, and confirmed in all respects. This resolution shall take effect immediately upon its adoption. May I have a motion to adopt?
A motion to approve resolution number 1463.
And a second?
Second.
Dwight?
Second.
Thank you very much. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Thank you very much. Now we will move on to our executive director's report.
Dr. Adams?
How old are these two projects? Owens Village and...
So Owens Village was built in the 1970s, was it, Dee? And we acquired it in 1999 for the whopping price of $1 from HUD, because the property had a lot of issues. And then we used a grant program through HUD to renovate it in 1999. And Owens Village was constructed in the mid-1990s. I think it was either 1994 or 95. So let me first say that I don't know there's anything more nerve-wracking than having a former principal read a resolution that you had written several days ago, and you know, we're not sure that there was a typo or anything. So that was a lot of fun, Dr. Adams. I hope we passed the test there. And so I'm really excited to make one announcement as a part of my director's updates. In the report that I had provided earlier in the week, I stated that we were still hurrying up and waiting to hear from HUD as to whether or not our Jobs Plus grant had been successful. Well, we received word yesterday that we were one of 12 PHAs from across the country, out of my understanding is hundreds of applicants, who were selected for the Jobs Plus program. And so we will be receiving $2.3 million from the U.S. Department of HUD. And I can certainly update you now to let you know that I no longer can say that we're sitting and waiting and hoping. We have been approved, and it's a pretty neat, pretty big deal. And I'm happy to tell a little bit about what that will involve, and then we'll also kind of segue into my second item of update on the Geneva Square and Owens Village renovations. And so in our application to HUD, we essentially proposed we're going to create a workforce development center in partnership with the regional workforce WIOA office and the regional Hampton Roads Workforce Council that's located up at the Military Circle area. And from probably about a week after I arrived here, I've really got some flack from the folks at the Workforce Development Center for very publicly saying that I think it's pretty silly that Chesapeake is Virginia's second largest city and we don't have a regional center. We send our folks to Norfolk, or we send them all the way to Suffolk. And that it's also not exactly correct to think that it's just super easy for someone to jump on a bus from the Indian River section of Chesapeake, from a public housing community, and get to the Military Circle Mall. We take a lot of things for granted from a transportation standpoint that are absolute impediments for our program participants. And so we were able to get commitments pretty early after I got here from the team to come out to our public housing communities and provide training and resume workshops and other programs. But we really wanted to take it a whole step further. And so as a part of this, we actually proposed a direct partnership with the Regional Workforce Development Center, where they will actually be hiring a full-time jobs creator who will be housed within this center. It's going to be in our Geneva Square community, so that it's as close to central to all of our public housing communities as I guess we can accomplish in such a spread out city. We'll have the grant will allow us to utilize the funds for transportation needs. It will allow us to pay stipends to a lot of our participants. It will allow us to pay for training and educational opportunities, all the things that we gripe about that FSS and Ross will not allow us to do. I've said a lot of times I think it's silly that HUD gives us all this money for us to hire case coordinators, but no money to connect the dots. We tell people, well, really what you need to do, Sally, is you need to get a nursing degree and then get a job in nursing, but there's no money to pay for nursing school. There's no child care money, there's no transportation dollars. And so this program begins to fill in all of those gaps in a very transformational way. And so we are extremely excited about that, and we'll be providing you with much more information as we move forward with putting the plans into fruition. And also we'll be crafting some media releases and hope to generate some positive media as a result of the announcement. And so I'm happy to answer any immediate questions anybody might have about the Jobs Plus.
What amount of time does it cover? How many years?
So I think the performance period is, it's either 3 or 5 years. Beginning July 1st is when we'll actually have, we'll have from now until July to get everything mobilized, and then we'll have access to the funding immediately. And the performance period is probably 5 years. It's either 3 or 5 that we've got to begin to draw down on the funds. And we will actually be, one of the first things we'll be doing is creating a team of, I guess, like community influencers from within our public housing communities who say, that are already participating in our self-sufficiency programs. They're already, going to school at night, and they understand, what a struggle that is. And so we'll be able to actually pay them a stipend to, help, encourage and to work with, some of the other folks so that they've got an additional financial resource. They'll be able to tap into, to the grant resources as well. And we're going to be putting it, like I said, inside of the community center at Geneva and Owens, which is perfect timing as we're, planning the renovations now. So we'll be able to upfit, everything that we absolutely need to have physically there as well.
So, if one of our tenants wanted to go to school and had a child and needed daycare, this would cover all of that? Or how do they apply?
Child care was one of the biggest impediments that we identified as a part of the application. And so we'll be, crafting what the solution will be, but absolutely. This program is that's we identified that as one of our largest impediments, as a part of this. And I don't know, Ramonda, if you or Dee wanna share anything more specific about that part. Since you all were up to 4 a.m. working on that piece.
I didn't hear the question clearly. Was it about child care?
It was, yeah.
And the education expense.
Yeah, child care and transportation. Education were some of our barriers.
Yeah, and so, the short answer is yes. I mean, we'll be able to utilize those funds for, for all of those, things that we identified as barriers for our participants. And what we'll do is we'll make sure that we've got something that's kind of easy to follow with bulleted points as a part of our media release, so that all the commissioners will also have talking points. I would like to think that we may have some council members and other folks from leaders from the city that will be interested in hearing more about it. So we'll make sure that everyone has all the information they need to answer those questions when we get them as well.
If this is really successful, and when this is really successful for the next 3 or 5 years, is HUD more likely to continue to give a grant once you win one?
I don't know that they can publicly say that they can factor that into it, but I will say that this started as a pilot, and it had mixed results. There were 2 or 3 agencies that did some really transformational stuff, and a few that did okay. And it's now a permanent program, is my understanding. And so we have not even made it far enough along yet to know if there is a renewal, if there's a Jobs Plus 2. But typically the way HUD has kind of worked on programs like this is, success kind of, indicates that you'll be a good candidate for the next round. And if you look at our mainstream and SRAP and a lot of our other HUD programs, we've been able to continue to to expand them because of success. So I would like to think so, but can't say that emphatically. And so I wanted to give some updates on Geneva Square and Owens Village, especially since now we know that the community center renovations are going to play a pretty neat role in our Jobs Plus program that we're creating. And so as I mentioned earlier, we have engaged Prudential Mortgage. We're working on an FHA HUD 223F loan. The loan for, I know we've got some folks who are financial and mortgage folks. The loan has a 35-year term, a 35-year amortization. Rates right now are sub 2%, and no balloon, no anything, fixed rate. And it is absolutely remarkable. loan product as exists anywhere out there. And the only loan that's better is probably the 221D4 loan, which is designed for major renovations and new construction. It's got a 40-year term and 40-year amortization. But right now, rates are right around 2%. Our lender told us they locked one that was in the upper 1.9s that was up 2% last week. And so we're underwriting a little conservatively, probably around, you know, 2 to 2.25% by the time we lock. That's pretty crazy to say out loud, honestly. That's absolutely as cheap of close to free money as we can get. I also wanted to provide some updates on our COVID vaccine efforts. On Saturday, April 3rd, we had our second COVID vaccine clinic at Indian River High School. You know, this was in partnership with the Hague CHKD Pharmacy, the National Pharmacy Program. We did a total of 2,078 shots that day. It was a combination of folks who were there getting their second Pfizer shot, as well as several hundred people who got their one and only Johnson & Johnson shot, as well as, you know, a number of folks who also started their first Pfizer shot. You know, everyone who started the first Pfizer shot that day has already received their second shot through the Military Circle Mall location in partnership with FEMA. And so the city has responded to a lot of the disparity concerns and needs of the vaccine distribution by creating a task force that's designed to assure that we get the vaccines into lower income communities, communities of color, and as well as, you know, now we're seeing that we certainly need to make sure that there's a concerted effort to increase the vaccination rates among our Hispanic and Latinx population. And so I'm a part of that task force. Nancy will also be becoming a part of that task force along with police chief, fire chief, our EOC staff, Dr. Welch, Jerry Tucker, who's the emergency office person for the health department, and Reese Jackson's on it with us from Chesapeake Regional, as well as a number of other folks. And so there are a lot of efforts underway right now to continue these vaccination efforts, but to be quite honest, we kind of hit a wall, so to speak. And so we're starting to see that demand is starting to drop off pretty drastically. You know, our last event that we hosted was at Geneva Square, and it was the first dose of Moderna, and we struggled to get to 15. And that was with, you know, a lot of marketing and advertising. And I know Mr. Parker, I think your church has been hosting an event
this whole week
that we've been also kind of spreading the word on. And so I'm not sure what the turnout's been for you all or, you know, like, okay. Yeah, so I think collectively the consensus among that task force and all of us is that we're starting to kind of hit a wall. So I suspect we'll begin to pull back a little bit on a lot of that. But we certainly have played a pretty, you know, a pretty significant role, and I'm pretty proud of what we've done on that front. Security updates, I'm actually pretty happy to report that we've had a pretty quiet month. And I personally received a tip from a resident of one of our properties who identified a shooter from a prior incident, and be careful what I'm saying here. And so I was able to then meet with the gang unit as well as with the criminal investigator to relay some important information, and I'm confident that we're going to see some resolution to those investigations moving forward. And so I say that because we've seen, you know, the incident and the footage and everything that's been shared amongst us. And so that was a pretty significant event, and so I'm glad to see that the investigation is progressing, and we should have resolution for that. But since then, it's been quiet. Nancy is also working to prepare a safety and security grant that will go to HUD. We'll be requesting $250,000. We don't know quite for what yet. We're going to be working with staff. She's coordinating that effort to figure out what, and we'll get some input from, you know, from our law enforcement and other folks to tell us what steps we should take. We've been approved to receive those grants a number of times, but we've yet to, once you get approved, it goes into a lottery, so to speak, and then you got to kind of be lucky enough to get pulled out of that lottery. folks that always are lucky have a lot worse criminal issues than we do. So I'm not sure exactly what the how that works. But my friends in Birmingham seem to always get it. So does Newport News and some other folks that, that have some challenges. So, and then finally, I wanted to share one quick update that's pretty exciting. We are in the process of initiating a new digital software application through ShareFile. Is the company that we have chosen. We went through a competitive process with a number of different vendors, and we selected ShareFile because we felt like it was the best fit for us. That will actually allow us to now begin to incorporate e-signature, you know, processes into our public housing and our Section 8 and all of these hundreds of HUD documents that we have to utilize. We'll be able to actually create electronic documents so that we don't have to be face-to-face with folks. And you know, obviously COVID has kind of exploited the need for us to expand and to modernize, and you know, and so we're taking that step forward, and I describe it as a generational leap. I mean, it really is it's a huge efficiency measure for us to be able to do that, to not have to host a briefing and have 100 people show up in person eventually to sign paperwork, but to be able to to transmit it to them electronically. And if heaven forbid that we have another issue where there's another stay home order or something in the future, or there's a disaster, that those efforts would be much less interrupted. And so we're excited to be moving forward with that, and we're also in the process of moving forward with some new software that we're going to be launching for our property management functions. That's going to again drastically improve our reporting capability and our ability to just really be a very legitimate property management company and rival our private sector partners. And so I'm excited that we've been able to accomplish some of those steps and wanted to share a little bit about it. I'm happy to answer any questions that anyone has from the commission, or if there are any questions on any of the department or staff updates. It looks like we've got most of the departments represented here. We'll be happy to answer any questions that anybody might have.
Any questions from the commissioners?
Not about that necessarily, but I would like to take this.
May I ask one question?
That's Commissioner Kish.
Yes, sir.
Oh, thank you. I read in the paper that their Hampton Roads Transit, the bus company, was reducing substantially their bus routes because of lack of drivers. Has anyone discussed that with CRAJ and its impact on the people that we serve?
I have not had any discussions directly. I don't know if any of our staff has had. That's kind of news to me, unfortunately, too, Mr. Kish. We'll have to figure out what that means and what's affected.
Well, if over time, over the next few weeks or something, you find that it does affect our people substantially, I'd appreciate it if you let me know, because I'd like to take it up with people. Just obviously, the transportation issue bothers me. I think that we should depend on public transportation and provide a lot better public transportation than we do. So.
We'll find out as much as we can and give as much insight into what the impact is as we can, and we'll get back to you, sir. And all of the commission, if you would like.
Thank you.
The city council has a representative on the HRT authority, and they are supposed to be very much aware of where those cuts will be.
Okay.
Part of the decision is made because each entity, like the cities and counties, have to pay a certain amount. And if they don't pay enough to make all of those
thank you, Mr. Kish, for bringing that up.
Did you have some?
Oh, yes, I just wanted to mention the fact that Mrs. Brickhouse has been very supportive in getting little trinkets and things of that sort for the people who've been vaccinated, and they love them, and especially these little bands. They're going crazy. I mean, the women love the little pink ones, and so they went first. But I would like to thank you and thank Mr. Brooks for letting you do that, because it's been a hit.
Playing such an important role. I know that's, the pastor's been involved in a lot of this from day one to a lot of different steps. So I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Is there any attorney's advice or consultation?
I'll defer to Delphine, who's on the line.
Okay. Ms. Carnes, is there any advice or consultation at this point before we go into executive session?
No, there isn't. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And now, Ms. Reynolds, are you going to read the?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll read the resolution convening closed meeting on April 28th, 2021. Be it resolved that the authority will convene in a closed meeting pursuant to the Virginia Freedom of Information Act, as amended, the Act, to discuss the following matters which are specifically exempted from public disclosure by the code section referred to below. Personnel matters involving the assignment, appointment, promotion, demotion, performance, salaries, or resignation of employees of the authority as authorized by Virginia Code Section 2.2-3711A1.
I make a motion to close and to go into executive session.
Second.
All in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
We will be going into closed session, and we'll come back in after we complete.
And for those commissioners who are attending remotely, we have set up a separate call-in line that I emailed you that information. And so if you'll give me just a couple of minutes, I will go dial into that conference line, and you'll be able to call in audio-wise for that portion of the meeting.
I don't think I have that information.
I'm sorry, Delphine. I'll forward it to you right now.
Thank you.
Justin, was Mr. Houston on the meeting? Night stuff.